Greetings, saints. Many blessings to you. Thank you for joining us today for the Unleavened Bread Bible Study. Precious Father, we love you so much, Lord. We ask you to lead us all into your kingdom. And of course, your kingdom is where you rule. And you said, why do you call us Lord, Lord? Call me Lord, Lord, and don't do what I say. So Lord, your ruling over us is what we desire, we ask for today. We thank you for leading us there in Jesus' name. Amen. As a matter of fact, we're going to call this, The Bride Leads Apostates from Captivity. And this was a revelation given to Sandy Shaw back on 9/23/19. And Don and Merlene transcribed it for her. And it's very interesting. Sandy said, this dream starts with me, Merlene, and Angelica getting into a 9-passenger dark blue SUV. The 9-passenger speaks of the 9 fruits of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, meekness, self-control, which the bride has. The dark blue represents the heavenly places in the night. And David here, as a type of the man-child, had told us, as a figure of the bride, to go to Kentucky to pick up a family and to bring them back. We're called, saints, to invite the church and her children to come out of Babylonish bondage back to their promised land and into the safety of refuge through the gospel. Sandy said, I don't know exactly what was going on in the U.S., but we could really feel a divide, even more so than now. Well, the right is, of course, rebelling against the illegal deep state communist depopulationists who are fighting against them. There is a divide. Earthquakes had started, Sandy said, but nothing major. Well, they are starting, and it's amazing. I was just reading about them today. A curfew had started. And everyone had to be in at 10 o'clock. Okay. Well, we know martial law is coming because of the deep state anarchists bringing judgments on the U.S. and the apostate church through their vaccine plague. And during this lockdown, the alliance will be arresting the deep state actors, as they have been for a while. And when we got to the address, Sandy said, and knocked on the door, the mother answered. She was upset and frantic. She hadn't seen her husband for several days, and she didn't want to leave until he got back. Well, this husband is the apostate leadership who were hirelings and fleeing deep state retaliation and left the flock. And this reminds us of a recent dream of a mega church leader who was no longer in that church, but a small unknown congregation. And he was seeking truth from me and our materials. And I think he just represented a larger group of people out there that are going to find out what they got is not going to hold up to what's coming, right? I can imagine that since Babylon burned the temple and church leaders' houses of that day, a mega church would not be safe due to DEW weapons and anarchists, man-made tornadoes, which just hit several churches, by the way, and old folks' homes. It's very interesting how they're able to target them. She said, We said we could wait for just a little bit, but we were going to have to leave. In other words, we've got to get out of here. Got to come out of Babylon, out of the apostate church. And, of course, they were going to the refuge in the wilderness. So Sandy said, so Merlene, Angelica, and I started to clean her house. Yes, and I know that we're all working hard at this to try to clean the house of the church. We fed the kids and bathed them, the oldest being 6, then 5, then 3, then 1.5, and a newborn baby. So after we bathed them, we got their clothes and put them in bags. Well, these three are all dreamers. And Angelica could also represent the angels, all of which are working now to awaken the sleeping church. And this washing from sin and clothing with Christ's works qualifies them to leave the mother church and escape judgment. Praise the Lord. I told the mother, we're going to have to leave. She said, no, my husband is not here. I said, your husband had called David and Michael Hare and said, the Lord said, come and pick them up. So the bride is called by the Lord to invite them to come out of captivity to their Babylonish thinking of the traditions of men and bring them to the refuge. Amen. There is a place of safety. Righteousness delivers from death, and righteousness is an act of being in concert with God, right? So we were told to do this, and that's why we are here. So you can't say no because your husband wanted you to come with us. Well, the Jezebel spirit in the apostate church will not allow them to obey the Lord, who is their real husband. Sandy said, it's getting late. We need to get on the road. And she said, well, take the kids. I'm going to stay here and wait for him. Okay, so the church's apostate leaders are their husband who sows the false seed in the flock, and their hirelings that leave the flock when the wolf comes, just like Jesus said. And they're gone from this one, right? And the elect children will get cleaned and clothed and qualified to leave the mother church and come under the bride's leadership, which is the way it was in the Bible before there was a faction. They were all under Jerusalem, the bride, under David, the man-child, etc. So, well, Merlene said, these babies need you, especially the last two. Let me say that the apostate churches are only qualified to lead babies. When they get past teaching that Jesus is the Son of God who saved them, and they get into error, they can't go past that. And they can only feed milk. They can't. That's the only thing they can feed is milk. And after that, they need to escape. Climb out of the playpen and escape. She just stared at Merlene and knew she just couldn't do it. Well, that's because of Babylonish bondage to the traditions of men. The hierarchy is the last to come out from among them. They've got too much invested in it to come out. The mother then went into a room and came back with papers. There were birth certificates and a notary paper. She had put each of our names on that paper, giving legal custody and rights of the kids. And by the way, so it's going to be that God will legally, by the word, give those who come out from among them the right to enter the true kingdom of God. They will come under God's true authority and leadership. So, Merlene, Angelica, and I were talking. Well, what do we do? We don't feel right about leaving her here, but she's the one that's not being obedient. We were told to pick them up and their stuff and leave. And then I said, I don't want to be disobedient. And after that, Angelica said, shall we throw lots? Our question was, Lord, shall we leave now? And we got three heads for yes. So I told the mother again that she was not obedient to her husband or to the Lord. And she said, just take my babies. Okay. So God just told Eve that he was going to pour out a plague on the rebellious, and then we would know things are beginning in earnest. The mother apostate church will not escape the judgments, only those who come out from among them, as God said in Revelation 18 and 4. And I heard another voice from heaven saying, come forth, my people, out of her, that you have no fellowship with her sins, and that you receive not of her plagues. How do you not receive the plagues? By having no fellowship with her in her sins. And notice it's only my people who will come out of the harlot church and escape the plagues. God's got everything already written. We put them in the vehicle, all in car seats. Merlene sat in the back with the youngest, and Angelica sat up front with me. And we had been driving for a while, still in Kentucky. But I see a sign that said, so many miles to Clarksville, Tennessee. Meaning Clark's City, that's what Ville means, Clark's City, and that's in Tennessee. I believe this speaks of the city of David, Jerusalem, the bride, who will rule like Esther over the true church of the come-outers. That's what the church means, is come out, coming out, right? And I've been used by God as a type of the David man-child, and my middle name is Clark. And I jokingly tell people that this is short for Clark Kent. But they don't believe me. No, I was just kidding. Anyway, before we crossed into Tennessee, she said, I got pulled over, and there were two cars that were completely black. We could only see their lights. And when I pulled over, there was one in the back of me and one in the front of me. And from the description, I would guess that these officers are from the dark side, okay? They could represent spirits seeking to resist the apostates being freed, but the bride had a legal spiritual right to these children, so they had to let them go, right? The demons have rules before them, just like God gave them to Satan in Job. He gave rules. You can do this, you can do that. You can't do this, you can't do that. They know what they can do and what they can't do. They can test us when God desires. So, the two officers in front got out and started going around our vehicle with their flashlights on. And another officer that was in back came to my window, and I rolled it down. And I said, hello, officer. I'm sorry if I did anything wrong. I'm not aware of it. He didn't say anything and walked in front of the SUV. He came back and asked for my driver's license. And then he asked me, whose kids are these? I said, they're mine. Well, we know the children of God are given to the bride, as in Esther and Psalm 45, 14 through 16. She, who is the bride here, shall be led unto the king in embroidered work. The virgins, her companions that follow her, shall be brought unto thee. With gladness and rejoicing shall they be led. They shall enter into the king's palace. Instead of thy fathers, they shall be thy children, whom thou shalt make princes in all of the earth. And another text that's been given to us many times about the apostates coming under the bride was spoken to the bride, which is Jerusalem, according to what John was told in the book of Revelation. And it's this, Isaiah 49:18, "Lift up thine eyes round about, and behold, all these gather themselves together and come to thee. As I live, says the Lord, thou shalt surely clothe thee with them as with an ornament, and gird thyself with them like a bride." And then verse 21 says, "Then shalt thou say in thy heart, Who hath begotten me these, seeing I have been bereaved of my children, and am solitary, an exile, and wandering to and fro? And who hath brought up these? Behold, I was left alone. These, where were they?" And verse 22, "Thus saith the Lord, Behold, I will lift up my hand to the nations, and set up my ensign to the peoples, and they shall bring thy sons in their bosom." That's talking to the bride still. "And thy daughters shall be carried upon their shoulders." Okay, so obviously the man-child David ruled over the bride, Jerusalem, which ruled over the rest of Israel. They had a legal right to do that, okay, given by God. So he handed me back my license, and he said, "Remember, you must all be home by 10. Well, I think this means that all need to be under the bride in spiritual refuge before the martial law curfew, so they can spend their time bearing fruit. And God told Eve that he was going to pour out a plague, and we're seeing now this plague on the rebellious. And then, and by the way, it's overwhelmingly liberal people that are being taken down by this plague. If you didn't think God was telling us the truth at the beginning when I told you that that was what was going to happen, that's what's happening. Then, of course, we would know things are beginning in earnest, right? Well, Biden says we are entering a dark winter of sickness and death. And he said that there'd be 15,600 Americans to die in a week. But conservative estimates are 25,000. And these will be overwhelmingly vaccinated people. And the rest receive it from chemtrails and super spreader vaccinated people. These are the dangerous people out there. Of course, they're trying to make out that we are the dangerous people, but they are the dangerous people. And I'll put you a little article here you can read. It's pretty good on this. So also I want to say to you, strengthen your faith to survive what is coming. And read our book, God's Vaccine. It's free. I'll put a link here. It's also on the front page of our site, ubm1.org. When we drove a couple of minutes, we were in Tennessee. We were relieved to be in friendly territory. And before this, throughout this dream, we were very tense. And then I woke up. Well, they were in enemy territory because the people of God were in bondage to these apostate leaders and apostate systems. And Sandy said, "I received by faith at random Romans 12:10 on preferring one another, and in context 9-13. Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor that which is evil, cleave to that which is good. In love of the brethren, be tenderly affectionate one to another. In honor, preferring one another. In diligence, not slothful. Fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Rejoicing in hope, patience in tribulation. and continuing steadfastly in prayer, communicating to the necessities of the saints, and given to hospitality. Amen. Well, those who do the work to bring in the captives must have this lowly, humble frame of mind and obedience to the Lord and fruit of the Lord. So, and as Eve said in our above text, a pestilence or a plague is coming to the U.S. And those who believe in the Passover will be safe. As we can see, it's been poured out. It's in a geometric progression right now, and it's starting to kill a lot of people. I watched a video recently that had clip after clip after clip after clip of people dying on TV, including the media falling over dead on TV with the camera on. It's happening. Well, here's a portion of unharmed by the pestilent snow. It was given to Eve Brast on 12:19-17. She said, the dream started out with me floating in the spirit above the whole scene of the dream. Well, Eve here is a type of the bride of the last Adam, just as Eve was of the first Adam, right? But she was a type of the last Adam, Jesus, and she is heavenly in heavenly places by abiding in Christ, right? That's a safe place. Heavenly places are a safe place. The righteous will escape. I saw myself standing in the midst of a large crowd of people. There was a smaller group of people immediately around me. We were a separate little circle of people. Well, the inner circle of true Christian believers around the bride is who's typed here, and these are bearing the fruit of Jesus, but not yet arrived in the position of the bride. Okay? The configuration of the crowd, she said, almost looked like a target from the air. I, that is Eve, the bride, at the center, and the small group of people around me being the next ring, and then the rest of the masses being the outer ring. Well, the outer ring of unbelievers, including tares and goats and apostate Christianity in the world. The target of the deep state is primarily Christians, because these people are Satanists who hate Christians above all people. They're also communists who hate Christians above all people. And they are factious and full of witchcraft and sacrifice children for power from Satan, just like the faction in the church does in a spiritual way. But they don't know that they are part of this outer circle. And the plague will take many of them down, as we've seen in our dreams. But these are vessels used of God, who wants to judge those in the outer circle who persecute and pollute the bride with their leaven. And these are a part of Babylon and do not have the Passover blood on their doorposts to protect them from the plague. And part of these are Pharaoh's army, who will be destroyed at the spiritual Red Sea before the Christians go into their wilderness tribulation. Okay. She went on to say, the small group immediately around me were looking to me for hope and reassurance. I was dressed in a dark blue top and blue jeans that were given to me by David. In other words, the man-child dressed up the bride in heavenly outfit, right? The David man-child company dressed the bride in the heavenly works and the walk of Jesus. That's what the clothing represents. And it's also meaning the doctrine that brings the works of Christ is being taught by the man-child Davids to the bride. They were desperately clinging to my clothing. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ, right? They were desperately clinging to my clothing and looking towards me as their example. Well, that was kind of like in Song of Solomon. Where's the Shulamite? We want to see the Shulamite. You know, why they wanted to see the bride. What'd she look like? Let me see. Who is this that was chosen? What do they look like? I need to be like that, right? Yeah. Well, they have seen that Jesus in the bride is an example of how to live above the curse mentioned in Deuteronomy 28. This curse is everything that's detrimental to man, and it comes because man rebels against the laws of God. Okay. But Galatians 3 and 13 says, Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. So there is safety under the blood of the sacrifice of Jesus, which the apostates were not taught. They just taught they're saved and they're ready to fly away. That's all they wanted to know. Okay. Well, Exodus 12 and 13 says, and the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and there shall be no plague upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. So remember, according to our type, there was a Passover from a plague before the Israelites went into the wilderness, which Revelation 12 and Revelation 17 proclaimed to be the 7 years of tribulation. How do we walk under the Passover blood? 1 John 1 and 5 says, this is the message which we have heard from him and announce unto you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. And we know that his word is light. Jesus' name, other name, by the way, is the Word of God. And if we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, and that's the light of his word, because he is the word, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus his son cleanses us from all sin. So, and if you are cleansed from sin, you're not under the curse. You need to know that, because your faith in that is what gives you this promise like all the rest of them. And this clothing of faith in the Word and works of God is going to save many. And these people who are clinging to the bride seem to know this. They're clinging to those clothes of the bride, right? Exodus 15 and 26 says, and he said, if thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and wilt do that which is right in his eyes, and wilt give ear to his commandments, and keep his statutes, I will put none of the diseases upon thee which I have put upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord that healeth thee. So if you can obey, because people who have faith get grace from God to obey. The apostate church doesn't teach that, but that's what the Word says. It was very dark all around us except for a light shone down on me from above, and it got dimmer and dimmer the further away from me that the people were, meaning God put a light on the bride, which it says in the Word, the same exact thing. The further we are from the glory of God, which is the Christ-likeness that's in the bride, the more of the curse that we're susceptible to. And the more we add or subtract from the Word, the more we are susceptible to the curse, as we're told in Revelation 22, 18 on down. I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book. If any man shall add unto them, God shall add unto him the plagues which are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part from the tree of life, and out of the holy city, which is the bride, which are written in this book. And notice, God will put the plagues on those who depart from the word. It's very clear, and it's been there for a long, long time. So what were they afraid of that made them want to be close to the godliness of the bride and cling to her clothing? The plague. Yes. Snow was falling down, he said, upon all the people. And as it landed on the faces of the dimmer people, the ones further away from her, they began to fall to the ground dead and dying in agony. So the pestilent snow, the Lord told us, would come in parts 1 and 2 of the same revelation. The plague was spread from above by many chemtrail planes. Yeah. I asked for a word by faith at random concerning the pestilent snow that was falling on the outer masses of people, and received Hosea 7 and 10. And here's the context. Hosea 7 and 10, "And the pride of Israel doth testify to his face." Remember that Israel is the Old Testament church, right? A type of the New Testament church. "Doth testify to his face, yet they have not returned unto the Lord their God, nor sought him for all of this. And Ephraim," that's the northern 10 tribes who factioned away from the house of David, right? "And Ephraim is a silly dove without understanding. They call unto Egypt, they go to Assyria." In other words, their faith is always in man who cannot save, and in man's vaccines, which are killing them. "Because cursed is the man that trusts in man and maketh the flesh his arm. And when they shall go, I will spread my net upon them, and I will bring them down as the birds of the heavens," birds falling out of the sky. "Then I was pulled into my body, and the rest of the dream continued from my perspective inside myself. I was telling the group around me, 'Don't worry, look.' And then I lifted up my face towards the heaven and let the snow fall on my face. And I opened my mouth to allow the snow to fill my mouth. It was very strange snow to me. It wasn't cold, nor did it melt upon coming in contact with the warmth of my mouth." Well, we witnessed this strange snow here. And everybody went to look and to test it, just as we said. It didn't have any plague on it, but the vehicle was there. It did not melt with a match. And instead of flakes, it was short little needles, which seemed to be hollow, like they were made to carry something, you know. And you could see, if you looked very close at them, you could see this very plainly. And we even got magnifying glasses out and looked at it, tried to burn it and everything else. It's not snow. It looked like it, but it was not. Eve said, "I asked for a word by faith at random concerning myself in the dream of opening my mouth and the snow being like manna to us instead of the curse and judgment. And my finger was on Isaiah 60 and 1. Here it is, that light we were talking about. And he was speaking to the bride. Isaiah 60 and 1. "For thy light has come." That's where her finger was. Well, you'll notice a light shined on the bride in this dream. "For she said, a light that shone down on me from above." Okay. So Isaiah 60 and 1, "Arise and shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. You know what brings forth the glory of the Lord? The Word of God in your heart. Yeah. For behold, darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the peoples. Kind of like that today, isn't it? But the Lord will arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee. And nations shall come to thy light, and kings to the brightness of thy rising. Well, notice, the righteous from among the nations clung to the bride, as in the revelation we just saw. And they clung to her who was in the light of the glory of God for their safety. Yeah. Verse 4, lift up thine eyes round about and see, they all gather themselves together. They come to thee. Thy sons shall come from far. Thy daughters shall be carried in the arms. Then thou shalt see and be radiant, and thy heart shall thrill and be enlarged, because the abundance of the sea shall be turned unto thee. The wealth of the nations shall come unto thee. So, what is the abundance of the sea that will come to the bride? It is the peoples of the world with their riches, spiritual and physical. It is the ordained people of God, not those that call themselves people of God. Revelation 17 and 15 says, and he saith unto me, the waters which thou sawest, where the harlot sitteth, are peoples, multitudes, nations, and tongues. And by this way, the bride sits there too, by the way, all around the world. The bride is a worldwide entity just like the harlot. The snow had a fluffy texture to it, and I chewed it and swallowed it. And, well, this is how faith in the promises saves us. If you lose faith, you lose the Passover. Beware lest your conscience is defiled by willful sin, because you will not have faith. In 1 John 3 and 21, beloved, if our heart condemn us not, we have boldness towards God. And whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments and do the things that are pleasing in his sight. So if you do this, you will have a pure heart, and you will be able to have faith. Many people can't have faith because their conscience condemns them. So at the same time, you have to beware of willful disobedience, or you will not be under the blood. Hebrews 10:26. For if we sin willfully after we've received the knowledge of the truth, there remains no more a sacrifice for sins. The apostates aren't telling you this. But a certain fearful expectation of judgment and a fierceness of fire which shall devour the adversaries. Yes, this judgment will devour the adversaries. That's those whose hearts are against God when they walk in willful disobedience, because they have no sacrifice. Notice it says, there remaineth no more a sacrifice. If you walk in willful disobedience, not talking about failure, willful disobedience, you don't have a sacrifice. And you don't have a right to escape judgment. The snow reminded me of what I'd always imagined the manna from heaven was like to the Israelites. Well, why is it death to some but life to others? Manna and the curse, right? Well, it's because it represents the Word. Jesus said he was the manna, and he is the Word made flesh. The Word is life to those who believe, and the curse of death is to those who don't. It's the same Word, but it causes both death and resurrection life. And Deuteronomy 30 and 19 says, I call heaven and earth to witness against you this day that I have set before thee life and death, the blessing and the curse. Therefore choose life, that thou mayest live, that thou and thy seed. Okay. So, Eve went on to say, only this had no taste at all and was completely harmless to me. I felt no threat whatsoever. The people around me were amazed that I wasn't harmed by it, the way everyone in the outer circle was. And this gave them hope and courage that they too could survive the judgment. And then I woke up. Wow, that's so good. It's so true, too. She said, I asked for a word by faith at random for this dream and received Proverbs 31, in context 8 through 31. Well, these are all the qualities of those who are in the bride, which Father is using Eve to represent in the dream. And these are also her works or garments. Eve said, I think it's interesting that verse 8 begins, open thy mouth. So I'll begin quoting from there, she says, Proverbs 31, 8. Open thy mouth for the dumb, in the cause of all such as are left desolate. So the bride will speak for the true people of God, kind of like Esther did to the king, right? And they were spared, right? The bride will speak for the true people of God who are in covenant with him, just like it was in Esther and Song of Solomon. Verse 9, open thy mouth, judge righteously, and minister justice to the poor and needy. A worthy woman who can find, for her price is far above rubies. Well, the bride in this case is mature and beautiful to the Lord, her husband, and the much larger church is not. Song of Solomon 6 and 8 says, there are 70 queens and 80 concubines and virgins without number, but my choice, my dove, my undefiled, that's what the Shulamite means, by the way, my dove, my undefiled, is but one. She is the only one of her mother. She is the choice one of her that bare her. The heart of her husband, which is Jesus, trusteth in her, and he shall have no lack of gain. In other words, she bears much fruit for him, that is the Lord. She doeth him good and not evil all the days of her life. She seeketh wool and flax and worketh willingly with her hands. She is like the merchant ships. She bringeth her bread from afar. Yep, even from the Old Testament. She riseth also while it is yet night and giveth food to her household and their task to her maidens. She considereth the field and buyeth it. Jesus said the field is the world. By the way, we are going to be the inheritors of this world. The kingdom of this world has become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ, right? And which she will inherit, okay? And with the fruit of her hand, she planteth a vineyard. Well, that's the Lord's vineyard, right? She girdeth her loins with strength and maketh strong her arms. Her strength is the arm of the Lord, I would say. She perceiveth that her merchandise is profitable. Her lamp goeth not out by night. She layeth her hands to the distaff, and her hands hold the spindle. And of course, this is all to clothe her children in the righteous works of the Lord. Amen. And this is all talking about the bride. She stretcheth out her hand to the poor, yea, she reacheth forth her hands to the needy. And that's to build them up through the gospel. She is not afraid of the snow for her household, for all of her household are clothed with scarlet. There it is, right there. She eats the pestilent snow for breakfast, right? She maketh for herself carpets of tapestry. Her clothing is fine linen and purple. In other words, she's clothed in the righteous acts of the saints, as in Revelation 19, and she's clothed in royalty, purple, right? Her husband, that's Jesus, who is the husband of the bride, is known in the gates when he sitteth among the elders of the land. She maketh linen garments and selleth them, and delivereth girdles unto the merchant. Strength and dignity are her clothing. She's dressed up with the works of Jesus. That's what that clothing represents. And she dresses up her children with that, right? And she laugheth at the time to come. Well, she has no fear of the future curse. She openeth her mouth with wisdom, and the law of kindness is on her tongue. In other words, she loves the brethren, right? She looketh well to the ways of her household, and eateth not the bread of idleness. Well, there's a lot of people out there that are lazy Christians. They're idle. They just think they're just waiting for the rapture, but they're wasting their time because they're not bearing the fruit of Jesus. So she pleases her husband and teaches her children and clothes them, you know. Her children rise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praiseth her, saying, many daughters have done worthily, but thou excellest them all. Exactly what is said about the bride, right? So that's just like the bride in Esther and Song of Solomon, excelled above the rest of God's people. By grace, through faith. Grace is deceitful, beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. So she's humble to the word because she fears the Lord. Give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her works praise her in the gates. So she bears the fruit of her husband, Jesus. And received by faith at random on the time when they received this dream back on 9/29/19. Barry received this, Zechariah 5:1-4. Then again I lifted up mine eyes and saw, and behold, a flying roll. And he said to me, what seest thou? And I answered, I see a flying roll, and the length thereof is 20 cubits, and the breadth thereof is 10 cubits. Then said he unto me, this is the curse that goeth forth over the face of the whole land. For every one that stealeth shall be cut off on the one side according to it, and every one that sweareth shall be cut off on the other side according to it. I will cause it to go forth, saith the Lord of hosts, and it shall enter into the house of the thief and into the house of him that sweareth falsely by my name. Well, there's a lot of liars and slanderers and thieves out there. Guess what? God is saying specifically, we got this by faith at random at the same time we got this revelation, and he is going to judge these people with the plague. And it shall abide in the midst of his house, and shall consume it with the timber thereof and the stones thereof. So, the curse, of course, is upon the faction in the government, in the media, and in the church. And then Deb, at the same time, received this word, Isaiah 23:10. Pass through thy land as the Nile, O daughter of Tarshish. There is no restraint anymore. He has stretched out his hand over the sea. He has shaken the kingdoms. The Lord is not restraining himself from judgment. The Lord hath given commandment concerning Canaan to destroy the strongholds thereof. That's the carnal man in the promised land that had to be driven out for the born-again man, which was the Israelite, to live and control the land. So that's the apostate Christianity by the deep state, who then also fall. The deep state has a job to do, and their job is to bring down the apostate church. And after that, they will fall completely. So don't forget that, because we're looking out there and we're seeing that the deep state has loosed this plague. And it has taken down the people who have no faith in God. It's taking them down. And without faith, it's impossible to be well-pleasing unto God. And those that trust in the arm of the flesh are under the curse. And the apostate churches are not teaching their people what it takes to escape the curse on this world. They're not teaching it. And since they're not teaching it, all of their people have to run to man and trust in man. And, of course, that's a curse in itself. God says the curse will fall on the people that do such a thing. We have these promises, and people claim to be believers, but they don't believe the promises, which is the word of God, which is Jesus. So they're polluted with apostate thinking, apostate ways, traditions of men. They don't look like the Jesus of the Bible. They don't look like the apostles that came from him. They don't look like the fivefold ministry. They don't look like the Christians who came out from among the early denominations of those days. They don't look like those people. Jesus said, "These signs shall accompany them that believe." They don't believe that. Jesus said, "Greater works than these shall you do because I go to the Father." They don't believe that. All that passed away, but they can't find a verse that says that. Their lying preachers told them that, and basically it's going to cost them their lives if they don't come out from among them. Turn to the Lord with all your heart. These are days of destruction that are coming. God is draining the swamp in the church before he finishes draining the swamp in the deep state. Now let me say, those can happen at the same time, by the way, because that plague is out there. It's moving. It's going from person to person. It's going from all the vaccinated who are now super spreaders, who are spreading it everywhere. And a lot of people are being tested by it. You have a chance to walk by faith in God and to cast down those symptoms. Or you can go get remdesivir and die in the hospital. Fauci and Gates are the ones that gave these rules to the hospitals to use remdesivir and the ventilators, which have been proven since Wuhan to be a death sentence. And all the testing of it proves it's a death sentence. So people just do not care to go out and find out what's going on here. And they're dying for their ignorance. And because they don't believe the word of God. You know, God's promises supersede everything physical on this earth. Everything. They're supernatural. Because those early disciples believed them, they had signs and wonders and miracles. The people that today are believers, he that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his innermost being shall flow rivers of living water. This spake he of the Spirit, that they that believed on him were to receive. They don't believe on him enough to receive the Holy Spirit, and therefore the words that come out of their mouth fall to the ground, or they bring them under the curse. We have the authority to speak the word of God and see miracles and signs and wonders. This will save many people. This is putting on the Lord Jesus Christ, which is his works, Remember the lampros garments in the book of Revelation, chapter 19, that the bride was dressed with? Glowing garments, lampros garments. There was the leukos garments that the attendants to the bride wore, but there was a lampros garment given to the bride. It was a glowing garment. And it was what? The righteous acts of the saints. Amen. Well, God bless you, saints. And we'll do this again sometime. All right. Good night, saints.